right, we're going to wrap up our media availabilities today. Here at Iowa Speedway for the Iowa Corn 350 powered by ethanol, we have our race winner, Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12 Team Penske Ford. We will go straight to questions for Ryan. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic. We'll start right there in the middle with Jordan, then go to Bob and Jerry.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Considering recent events, you got a lead comfortably with a handful of laps to go. Back of your mind, are you thinking, like, what's going to happen here?
Okay. Yes. Deja vu, for sure. I did kind of go through my head, right? Just trying to, you know, it's normally in my mind, it's like, just get to the white. And now I'm just like, I don't care about getting to the white. Let's just get to the checkered. And I don't know. It's kind of normal thoughts. But then the pain of 2 weeks ago, it just always pops up in your head. But I try to forget about it and just focus on, you know, the gap we had and try to keep it and all that. But yeah, I had some thoughts of that. Luckily, tonight it went smoothly.
And then your crew chief comes on with like five laps to go or thereabouts and says you're good on fuel. Did you chuckle, laugh, painful memory there?
Or no.
Did you even think about it?
No, I didn't even think about it. Honestly, I don't even remember him saying that. Okay. Really, I figured we were. I don't even remember him saying that, really.
And obviously now you're locked in the playoffs, but I mean, points are really tight. Now you're kind of off that playoff bubble. But as things have unfolded the last 2 weeks, have you been paying more attention to the bubble and what your position was?
Yeah, I mean, I don't look at it like every day. Like, I'll look at it Sunday night when it comes out, when y'all put it out, and okay, there it is. Like, and I don't really pay attention to it the rest of the week. But I did, you know, it was concerning when we had that stretch of bad races, like Darlington wrecking early at Charlotte, not finishing well at Gateway. I was like, man, we're kind of getting a little close to the cut line, but. We had a good day at Sonoma and kind of buffed it. And then tonight we had a really solid night. So I did look at it a second. I was like, man, it got to just be like, we don't have a lot of wiggle room left, you know? And, but I don't really pay attention to that stuff too much. I look at it once and then just figure out, okay, can I get to these guys in front of me this weekend? Maybe if I'm a few points away. And you think about that kind of during the stages and stuff. But other than that, I don't really look at it. So it's nice not to have to look at it in that regard anymore. You just try to see where you're at in points for playoff points, stuff like that.
Go to Bob and then Jerry.
Bob Hockris, Fox Sports. I have two. The first maybe a variation of question I've probably asked you before. But did you handle the last 2 weeks since the pain of losing Gateway differently than you would have a year ago when you weren't a past cup champion?
Probably a little bit. Yeah. I feel like I handled it better. Just shit happens, you know, just trying to take it a little bit easier as far as that stuff goes. It's like, I think a lot of last year taught me kind of our season and then the playoff run we had and into the championship, like ups and downs, just trying to get better in the ups and downs, like through the week and post race and stuff like that. And not just beating yourself up over things and, and just sticking with, you know, things and looking forward to going in the next week. And last year taught me a lot of that, I feel like. And so I've tried to apply it this year as far as, like, you know, you have a bad run. Even when we wrecked at Darlington and Charlotte, and like I was bummed, but I'm not like festering over for days on end. I kind of just move on from it and figure out how do we need to get better. And, honestly, those 2 weeks were Darlington, Charlotte, where we wrecked out. We, you know, really were like, hey, what do we need to do to get better? And then ever since then, like, we started running good. Gateway, Sonoma here. We've been running really well the last 3 weeks, so proud of that, that my guys didn't get down, you know, and bummed out that we weren't finishing races very well. They just figured out how to get speed, and we found it, and it was nice to execute one tonight. So, yeah, it doesn't bother me too much.
And considering how the track raced today, should they finish the paving job, or should they leave it the way it is?
I thought it actually raced pretty good. Like, I don't know how it looked on TV to everybody. No, good. Yeah, good. Okay. I thought it was pretty racy. We were way up there in that second lane, which essentially kind of made it three lanes because you had the bottom, then you could straddle the seam, and then you had guys in the full top. It exceeded my expectations as far as raceability. Good cars could pass people, and you had different lanes. The crowd tonight was awesome. I mean, packed house. If that doesn't make you want to come back here, I don't know what will. And I don't know if they really need to pave the whole thing. I thought it did a good job tonight, but that's above my pay grade.
Go to Jerry and then Kelly and then Philip.
Jerry Jordan, kickingthetires.net. Normally, it seems like it's your teammate when we first go to a new track or some new pave or whatever that's getting sitting up there. But you've tonight, mark your name in the history books as the first winner of the Cup race here. How's that make you feel? And you know, when you go coming away from here?
Yeah, I mean it's Joey's won a lot of those inaugural races, and I honestly, they do a great job and everything. But I think us as an organization like Penske, we do a really good job of preparing and planning and going through sim work. Really utilizing, you know, tire tests, wheel force tests, you know, figuring out a good game plan before we get here. I'm not taking anything away from the 22 team, but I think as a whole company, we do a good job at these places we go to for the first time. So that's something to be proud of in our group. All of Team Penske, they work really hard to try to be ahead of the game. I think our sim work and all that stuff is really good, and engineers and crew chiefs are great. So I think it's a huge testament as an organization as well.
And for you, you mentioned when Jordan asked you a while ago about the win being locked in. How big of a relief is it to get the win and to be in the playoffs?
Well, it's always nice. You know, I mean, it's just it's nice not to have that in the back of your head. You know, if you get tore up in a handful of races, like, you're not biting your nails off. So it's just nice to do it. And honestly, I just think it, you know, we've been close to two or three this year, you know. Barely losing Atlanta, you know, having Gateway kind of sealed up and that happening, and you know, not kind of seeing where we could finish. I thought, like, where we got wrecked at Texas and Darlington, I thought we were really good. I would have liked to see where we could have finished. So it just felt like we could never really get the runs we deserved, or just, you know, crappy things would happen to us and we just couldn't really finish it out. So it was nice to just finally have one, you know, the night go pretty smoothly, us get better through the night. They did a great job of getting better. Honestly, Friday, I didn't feel very good. I thought I wasn't very confident in the speed in our car, and we really went to work. My guys did, and got a lot better qualifying to the race and got better through the night. I didn't think we were great at some points of the night, but the last two runs, we were phenomenal. So, yeah, it's just relief. Nice to get back in victory lane. Nice to get Ford back in victory lane. It's cool to win with Advance Auto Parts, their first win with them as a primary. They're great people. So on a short track, they're the short track pros. So it was nice.
Go to Kelly, and then Philip, and then Dustin.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Ryan, over the radio after the checkered flag, I think it was Jonathan who had said, you guys had talked about being a team of the summer, and here you are clicking one off now in June. So is that the motto now, going back to what you had said earlier about just what you learned last year about trying to go through the ups and downs and pushing through this stretch of the season to get to the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have a great summer last year. You know, I mean, after Gateway last year, we had like 2 months of just not running good at all, like no pace, not finishing races. I had to hear stuff from you all summer that we sucked, and we did. I mean, we just weren't very good, and we were trying some stuff, but we just wanted to, we fixed that. I mean, we talked about that in the off season, like, you know, hey, let's focus on these summer months. Let's not go through that little dip like we did last year. Just trying to, I don't know, utilize the summer months a little bit better than what we did. So yeah, that was cool that we were able to achieve that, because we worked really hard on it, trying to be better at this point of the year at a better time than last year. So yeah, hopefully that continues.
So that was an actual conversation during the off season. Has that come up at all over maybe the last couple weeks or anything?
Yeah, it came up. I mean, when we had a few bad races in a row, you know, got wrecked out, stuff like that, is, you know, but yeah, it was mainly just kind of talks with our group, our whole team, you know, looking forward to being a summer team. Every off season you try to fix things, right? What did we not do well in the prior year? And that was one of them, like, well, we had a bad summer, and let's try to fix that. How do we do that? How do we learn quicker to be more competitive through the summer months? So it's nice when you kind of set goals like that as a team and then achieve them. That part's good.
Go to Philip, Dustin, and then Jeff.
Ryan, Philip Jones from the Des Moines Register again. You know, I'm kind of focusing on local stuff here. And you said yesterday that you had 80 friends and family here because of, you know, your mom being from Sheridan. Can you talk a little about what it meant to win here now for the third time? And also, I forgot the second half of my question, to be honest.
Yeah, I can talk about that. Yeah, I mean, it means a lot. I mean, I had tons of family here. Like I said, my mom's just from right down the road, so we spent a lot of time up here in Sheraton and Ankeny, and you know, really cool to have them all out and support me. And They were here in 2012 when I won my first truck race. They were here in 2015 when I won Xfinity race, and they were here tonight. So it's just cool to have a family like that. I'm pretty fortunate, you know, to have a family and friends from up here that are so supportive. You know, and that part's cool. I'm happy we got them all across the racetrack to get to victory lane. I didn't know how we were going to do that, but they all made shirts, and I guess they believed them. So the track officials believed them. So it was cool, very special, and I have my family here. I wish Gianna was here. But yeah, having all of them support me is awesome.
That's what I was thinking of was, you know, if you could talk just real briefly about time that you spent in Central Iowa when you were young.
Yeah, I mean, we'd come up here Christmas every year, which a little bit different than this time of year. I'm not gonna lie to you, it's brutal up here that time of year. But I liked it. I mean, we used to drive here from North Carolina, which was a long car ride. But yeah, just like I said, my mom grew up here. My grandparents lived here for a long time. So I just enjoyed the area, and it's just, as a kid, right, it's just a fun area. It's different. It's grandma's house, so you can see your cousins. My mom has a big family on her side, so and you know, as you get older, right, kind of grow apart a little bit as far as like cousins go, and you move different states and you don't see them as much. You don't go to family events like you used to as a kid every year, so it's all nice to see them come together and we could celebrate something.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. This being a first event, obviously you guys race a lot of same places week over week over week. Was there any different feeling? I know the process is still the same from week to week, but I didn't know if there was a different feeling being on pit road or beforehand or getting here, of just the entire experience of this being something new this weekend.
I think the biggest thing that jumps out to me, like obviously the on-track stuff is what it is. I try to come into these things with an open mind because you don't know how much you can trust sim, right? Just scanning. I wasn't here at a test. I raced here 9 years ago, but it's completely different. So I couldn't rely on that. So I just came here with an open mind. You know, how are we set up compared to other tracks that are similar to this? It's kind of all I could do. Like I didn't even run sim before I got here just because I didn't want it to mess with me. Just wanted to see it firsthand and then go through it as a driver. So, you know, that part's always a fun challenge on Friday, Saturday through the race. A lot of unknowns, and I think teams like that, drivers enjoy that challenge. But I just think the atmosphere around here this weekend was awesome. Like, when was the last time Xfinity and Trucks ran here? It was
19.
Yeah, so, I mean, to have a NASCAR race back in general, let alone a cup race, like, people are psyched about that out here in the Midwest who – might not get to go to other races through the year, you know. So when we left in 19, maybe they didn't go to a race, you know, they couldn't travel to go to a race. So it's nice to bring that back. So I mean, the crowd, the stands being packed, you know, tells a story. And from my side, that's a cool atmosphere, you know, and makes it seem like we're doing something right, you know, coming to these tracks and putting on good shows for fans, and they're dedicated. So that vibe I really like. I mean, whenever you go to a new place, it's a new feeling, right? You're not here, you're not really used to it all the time, as opposed to tracks you go to every year, maybe twice a year. It's always nice when we can experience this.
Can you give me a sense, you last stopped with two tires, and most other than Joey and Ricky, everybody else is on four tires. The challenge, especially after the way this weekend started, how difficult was it on two tires toward the end, or was it that big of a deal? Because obviously you still were able to win.
Yeah. When Jonathan said two, I was like, well, that's probably a good idea. We didn't have a ton of laps on our lefts. Lefts weren't wearing a ton. I knew there was a long run to the end. And you don't know who else is going to take two. I mean, you have no idea. Some guys maybe running 15th on back want to take two, get track position. But I think only a few of us did. And I just didn't know how they were going to fire off, handle. We weren't on a two all night before that point. And then later in the run, I tried my best to save early. So I knew when I got to lap traffic, that's where I struggled in stage two. When I got to lap traffic, when I was leading, the nine and the five ran me down because I used my stuff up early and I couldn't pass any lap cars. So I tried to learn from that a little bit, tried to keep a gap to the 24, like pretty consistent, and not push my stuff to have something for the lappers. And I was honestly, I was starting to struggle a little bit, like 10 to go. I was like, oh man, I had to push harder to keep my pace. And I was... it was really working hard in there to kind of keep my pace, to keep the gap from to Byron. But, you know, I mean, it was a good call getting us in clean air. I mean, four tires, two tires, I feel like we would have had a pretty good shot to do it either way, because I felt like I was better than Byron. Chase was really good late in a run. You know, he was that way in stage two, but I felt pretty good compared to Byron. I raced him earlier in the race, and I thought we were a little quicker than him. But yeah, just good call, getting us in clean air, and then trying to manage and hold on, you know, the last 10 laps or so.
I'm going to go over to Michael and then Caleb.
Michael Massey, Front Stretch. Early in your career, a lot of your wins were like, you know, take the lead in the last 10 laps, or maybe just not lead a ton of laps to get the win. But now it's like three of your last four wins, you've led over 140 laps. You're just dominant wins. Is that more fulfilling, first off? And second, are you and your team, do you feel like you're like hitting another level of like greatness now?
As far as being more fulfilling or not, I'm not really sure. I don't think so. I mean, a win's a win. You know, you get excited for it no matter what, no matter how many laps you lead. The only odd one was like the Roval. I didn't know how to feel about the Roval in 2018. It's just a weird one, right? No, I feel like our team is like firing on all cylinders. I mean, it's I got a great group of folks on the 12 group. You know, I mean, the way we ended last year, I mean, those guys are rock stars, and we came into this year with, you know, a lot of confidence that hopefully we can, you know, make another run at it again. And I think it's just a matter of working hard and putting in the effort, because, you know, we weren't very good at the beginning of the year. All the Fords were kind of struggling, and you know, they just tried to figure it out, you know, trial and error. And sometimes you find stuff, you know, and it's, you want things to happen quicker, sooner, faster. Like, we need more speed now, this weekend, right now. But I try to be patient with it. It's a process and it takes time. And I think we kind of handled it that way. And we were very mature about it. So I applaud our guys of just sticking to what they do and really focusing on their craft and not getting all spun out if we're not winning right away. So hopefully we can continue that. But no, I got a great group around me. I couldn't ask for more. Jonathan's awesome. Everybody, pit crew guys are fantastic. So it was nice to finally win with them. First win with Tim Fedua, my new spotter. So I'm jacked about that. That was cool. So Tim is a good guy, and it's nice to share a win with him.
Caleb Vessel, SpeedwayDigest.com. Kind of bouncing off Dustin's question earlier. You know, we had five blowouts in practice and seven throughout the race. I'm just curious, how was that in your mind, knowing that tires could be an issue and all that?
I didn't know we had that many in the race, honestly. I had no idea. I mean, it was in the back of my mind a little bit, but I figured, like, second stage, we went like 101 laps, I think, green. And after that, I'm like, all right, we'll be fine. Like, at least personally for me, like, I could kind of save my right front. I wasn't just destroying that thing. So our car was good enough to where I could kind of manage it. But yeah, I mean, even at the run at the end of the race, like, it was 80-something laps, 85 laps or so. That thing, that went through my mind. It's like, ooh, someone might blow a tire. We're kind of getting late into the run. But I think nighttime kind of helped it, cooled everything off. But, yeah, luckily we didn't – the two blew a tire in practice. But I think we learned from that of, okay, we know what they were doing. Let's kind of steer away from that to where hopefully we don't have an issue. And luckily our cars – none of our cars did tonight.
I'm going to go to the far left, and then we'll go to Dustin.
Ryan, Clayton Sampson with K&I Careless Radio out of Knoxville. You spent some time in Knoxville over the last couple days for a fundraiser, and you know you have a connection with your dad being a Knoxville Nationals winner. Can you kind of talk about what the biggest positive was of being able to spend an extended period of time in Iowa over the last couple days? And also, do you hope that they have a cup race here next year?
Yes, I hope they have a cup race here next year. I hope it comes back here for a long time. No, it's just nice to be up here. Like I said, I mean, I spent a decent amount of time up here as a kid, and I went to Knoxville last night. We had a little charity event, and I stayed for the races. So it's always nice to see. It's been a handful of years since I've been to Knoxville. It's just a nice area. I mean, it's fun. A lot of cool racing goes on, you know, in this area. And so it is a special place and very dedicated racers up here. You have a nice combination of dirt racers, diehards at Knoxville, and then 20 miles down the road, you got this place, you know, and I think that's, it's good, right? Because you're going to get each group to each racetrack, right? Like, I bet tons of fans who came out here today. A lot of crew guys I know went to Knoxville. I would hope some Knoxville fans came here today. You know, it's just a crossover is nice. If you're a race fan, you're just going to watch racing. So, it's good. It's nice that we're up here, and I hope like I say, we come back here for a while. I think this place deserves it. The area deserves it. And I like the place, too. So.
Dustin Alvino, Jayski. Ryan, I know you said you couldn't rely on past information. Last time you heard it was 9 years ago. But if you look at the finishing order for the top five, had at least multiple wins here in the past. Is that just a coincidence, or how much could you actually apply?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think anything applied from, like, previous years here. I don't know. I mean, a lot of guys had experience here, for sure, but, yeah, there's really nothing you could apply. Like, the only part that I kind of remembered from that's similar from tonight to 9 years ago, last time I was here, was, like, the bumps into one before you get to the new pavement. Like, those are a handful, just trying to get down in there and manage it. But they just stop a little sooner now than what they did. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe a little bit of that experience helps, but the racetrack was very different than what it was 9 years ago.
I'm going to go up here in the front to Mitchell. We'll need the microphone because we need to get the recording. Thank you.
Mitch Kaminsky, ABC 17. Early on, it looked like you and Kyle Larson had the fastest cars in the field. After he had his issue, or if he doesn't have his issue, does that change any of the strategy you guys had, the way you run that race? Or?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, he looked really good. He fired off early in that race and drove away. I was kind of riding that time, that first stage. And I was like, man, he's going really hard. Like, he might blow right front tire. And but he was just super fast. And I thought we got closer to him. He did come back through the field, though, when he pitted. His car was strong. I mean, gosh, he was going to be tough to beat, that's for sure. I do feel like, though, the last two runs of the race, we got a lot better. We finally got freed up enough to where I could really roll the middle better, where he would kind of beat us. So I'd be curious to see. I'm not sure if never know how those things are going to play out. But I do think we got better. But, yeah, they were definitely strong, and I don't even know what happened there off four. Cars coming together, but yeah, he was going to be a tough one to beat.
Do we have anything final for a race winner? All right, Ryan, congratulations.
Thanks
for
everybody.
Joining us tonight.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for your time. Yeah, thank you.
Ryan, you can come over this way. They're going to take you out front.